Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. This is Renee, and I'm glad you could make it this morning. Today, on today's agenda, we are going to talk about Candida. We tried to start that conversation yesterday, but we got so caught up in the story of young Rebecca taking her own life that we only touched on Candida briefly. And I know I have a lot of listeners out there who are concerned about Candida and its effects on their daily life. And all during my tenure at the Institute, I realized and found out that many people suffer from Candida, and often they don't even realize that that's what's going on. Candida can affect your whole life completely, your sense of well-being, your mental astuteness, your everything. So I've invited Shelley to talk about this morning because I think I've mentioned that Shelley is writing a book as we speak, and this book will be about the lessons she's learned in her own journey to good health, and of course the things that she learned at the Institute as well. But she's done a large amount of research, and because Candida is so all-reaching kind of a challenge, it's interesting to see how many different things it can actually affect, things that you will never believe it will affect, your train of thought, your focus, your healthy sense of well-being. In other words, how you feel physically as well as how you feel mentally. It's a lot more intricate than everybody thinks it is. A lot of people think it's simply almost like a fungus, which it is, but it's a lot more far-reaching than everybody understands it is. So I'm going to bring in Shelley, but first I want to say, if you just woke up and you're just starting to realize what happened during the course of last night, the government shutdown has ended. Obama signed the paperwork in the 12th hour, the way we do everything. And hopefully this will get us back on some steady ground. So we're happy to hear that. It's a good way to start our day today. So let's bring in Shel so we can talk about Candida before we use up all of our time again and don't get to it. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Renee.
I know. Yeah, we just kept snowballing, and I had some people that were going to just tune in to hear about Candida, so I hope that they're back again this morning. So.
Yeah, I mean, that was a huge topic, and we do have to readdress the whole story on Rebecca and other kids like her, so it was kind of difficult not spending more time on it, but this is also a very, very important subject. You know, one of the things, like you said, you know, people hear Candida and they don't realize, first of all, they don't realize how serious the condition it is, and they don't realize how all-encompassing it is that, and what I mean by that is that it can literally give you symptoms throughout your entire body. It's a very, very complex disease, and the longer you have it, the more symptoms you develop from it over the long haul, because it starts degenerating the body, and that's probably the most biggest problem with Candida, is that it gets worse over time. You don't just have the same symptoms, it actually flips into other conditions, and it can actually open the door for other conditions, which was my history, because everything started with the Candida, and then as time went on I ended up developing other illnesses as a result of the Candida diminishing my immune system so terribly.
So can you start out by telling it, because most everybody says to me, well, I always get a yeast infection when I use antibiotics. Is that Candida? Can you answer that question?
Oh, yeah. That is, that is one form of candida, or one way it shows itself. You can have candida without having a yeast infection. Men suffer from the candida overgrowth as much as women. Things like constipation or runs. I mean, in either case where the elimination is not appropriate, candida can be playing a role there. When you're constantly hungry, that can be candida. Because what happens is when and you have to understand that everything in digestion is a chemical process. Our body basically digests food as it breaks, you know, first the stomach breaks it down, then it gets into the intestinal tract, and then the intestinal tract takes the bacteria and actually breaks the food down, decays it inside the body, which does it as a chemical process, and by doing that, breaks it down to the basic nutrients, and then we'll start pulling out individual nutrients. That's why our intestinal tract is so long. This is quite a long process. Well, if you don't have the proper bacteria in the colon in order to pull nutrition, first of all, you're not going to be pulling the proper amount of nutrition in what you eat. So you're basically, that's why you see so many people in the United States eating. They're always hungry. They never feel like they're satisfied. They never really getting appropriate energy. It's because they're not getting nourishment. They're not getting the proper nutrients they need to give them energy, to give them mental clarity, to start repairing their body, because they can't absorb the nutrients. When your intestinal tract is not healthy, when you don't have the right amount of flora in there, and that's like the Acidophilus and the Bulgarius and the, I think the other one is called the, they all have like weird names, but they all end in Arius. And there's a bunch of different friendly bacteria that are supposed to be there. Well, when the candida overgrows, it basically diminishes the numbers of the friendly bacteria and shuts down the proper functioning of the intestinal tract. You can have all kinds of intestinal diseases as a result of that. Like I ended up getting leaky gut syndrome, which was directly a spinoff from the candida. I also had brain fog all the time. It causes headaches. It causes sore throat, sinus issues. It can back up into your bladder and kidney, which is, thank God, never went into my kidneys, although I think it did once, because I remember, I had said that yesterday, and then I remembered once I did have a kidney infection, so I think it did back up into my kidneys once, but I had issues where the candida backed up into my bladder a lot, and I was in tremendous pain for a couple of years there with a very severe bladder infection that nobody could clear, but they weren't clearing the candida, and they kept putting me on antibiotics, which made the candida worse. And every time the candida spiked, my bladder infection would spike. And the doctors never made the connection. I did, because I could tell what was happening to my body. Every time they gave me antibiotics for the bladder infection, the candida got worse and the bladder infection got worse. It's like they went hand in hand. And after the end of 2 years of going to medical doctors, I actually had problems walking. I was bleeding down there externally. I was just raw. I was just in so much pain. And I stopped going to doctors because after 2 years, they were just making me worse and worse and worse. This was way before I ended up going on to my journey of learning how to heal my body holistically and things like that. This was about 8 years before I hit rock bottom and was like, just stop going to doctors. But I did stop going to doctors just for this one particular issue that I was having, and started reading books on candida. And they talked about the link to bladder problems and digestive problems and all the symptoms I had, the headaches and everything else. So I actually got rid of it myself by going on what was then called a candida diet. I was still a meat eater at the time. So I just ate very simply. It wasn't a vegetarian diet, but it was free of breads, cheeses, things that would aggravate candida, sugars, things like that. And I ended up clearing in a couple of weeks what the doctors couldn't clear in a couple of years. So it was quite invasive.
So are you saying, Shelley, that it is entirely possible? And I realize you're not a doctor, and I realize that we're not giving medical advice. These are ideas for all of you to research if you're struggling, if you are going to a doctor and they're not able to help you, and they just keep giving you more and more medicines, which seem to compound the fracture, so to speak. We're trying to give
right.
you some options and different avenues to look at. Would you say that I realize that in a lot of cases there's a lot of supplements, and today there are many, many protocols for candida, but kind of what you're explaining to us, if I'm understanding properly, is that you actually got your candida, or at least if you didn't kill the candida, you got the crux of it, the manifestations and everything, all the other things, all the other side effects that were happening to you, you've got them under control mostly with diet. Am I right about that?
Yes, completely with diet. Completely with diet. And the whole thing is that candida, once you've had candida, it's like having a virus. You already have a predisposed weakness for that. So if you're not careful with your diet, and by the way, being careful with your diet isn't severe, okay? You don't have to stay away from the things you like. You just have to find alternatives in that type of food, like if you like cheese and stuff like that, that don't feed the candida. And there are options out there to give you a familiar diet that are choices that won't feed the candida. And basically, that's what I've been doing. I'm a vegetarian. I'm a very healthy eater, but I do like having beer once in a while. And sometimes if I'm going through a little bit of stress, or if I've eaten other things that they're sweet, and I have a couple of bottles of beer, I will notice some of my candida kicking up. So it's not a day-to-day problem for me anymore. But if I were to have a bottle of beer every night, my candida would kick in full bloom, because obviously the yeast in any kind of beer or alcohol like that would aggravate candida. It's very high in the sugar content. It's got loads of yeast in it. So that's the type of thing. You know, you have to be aware of the things that would aggravate it. White bread. Now, Ezekiel bread is actually a decent option for people that have candida. If you've got really systemic candida, then you've even got to stay away from the Ezekiel bread. But if you've got a milder form, you could even keep partaking of that. So you want to get away from sugars, white breads that are just full of yeast and really no nutrition anyway, white potatoes. Actually, the same type of diet that you would follow for cancer is the same diet that you would want to follow for candida, because the same things that feed cancer feed the candida, which are the sugars. Anything that throws off a lot of sugar makes candida very happy, and then anything that has a lot of yeast in it. So you're talking breads, beers, things like that, cooked potatoes. These are the type of things that really help candida. So you're looking at a diet that's more, a lot of green leafy vegetables really help to clear the intestinal tract. As much uncooked fruits and vegetables as possible, but you have to be careful with the fruits. There's a list of fruits that you can have with candida, and there's a list of fruits you can't, because some of the fruits are very, very high in sugar. You want to stay away from any fruits that are high in sugar, because while you're on that diet, it's going to aggravate it. Things that like cucumbers, avocados, peppers, but only red peppers, these type of vegetables, which are like on the border, that we call them vegetables, but they're really fruits, these are actually good on a candida diet. You want to stay away from bananas, you know, things like that. Now, some of the citrus fruits are okay, but some people with candida can't handle like the limes and things like that. So it's kind of like a process of trial and error, but you have to really clean up your diet, get rid of some of the common sense stuff, you know, I mean, don't be having cakes and bottles of beer every day. And once you start clearing the candida, you'll notice that you're going to be able to start thinking more clearly. You're going to notice a kick up in your energy. You're going to be more satisfied with smaller meals. That's another recommendation, is to start eating a little bit less than you were used to, and wait at least a half an hour after a meal to see if you're still hungry, because chances are you won't be, because you're going to start pulling more nutrition. Once you get that intestinal tract working properly, you're going to notice that your appetite will reduce.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. What's the deal with probiotics, Shel? What right now on TV, all over the news and everything, everybody's talking about probiotics. And I'd like you to explain the worth of probiotics in regard to your overall health as well as in treatment of candida.
Okay. Before I go on to the probiotics, I'll spin right out into that. I just wanted to, I had mentioned this yesterday, but it's such an important issue that I want to make sure that I don't forget to cover it in this conversation. Whenever you have any systemic illness like candida or cancer or anything like that, but especially candida more than a lot of the others, and you go on a program to detox your body from it, it is almost invariable that you will feel worse in the beginning. And a lot of times what happens is people will start fighting their candida. They start feeling worse. They think it's not working. They think they're injuring themselves, and they stop, and they go back to their regular diet. As long as you do a cleansing program responsibly, you listen to your body, and there are things that you can do to deal with some of the discomfort, you're not harming yourself. All right, but you do have to listen to your body. If the symptoms become too severe, then you have to kind of maybe slow down a little bit, and you're not going to detox too aggressively. But there's a lot of things that you can do during the cleansing process for candida to help the body not detox too aggressively. But drinking a lot of water, going to a colon hydrotherapist and getting colonics, which helps to get rid of some of the debris faster, doing your own enemas at home, these type of things actually help the body to rid the candida bacteria faster. What happens is as candida starts dying off, you have all these dead spores in the body, and it becomes a toxin. And if you don't rid it from the body very quickly, your body will actually start reabsorbing these toxins, and you'll get like flu-like symptoms. You can really feel awful, aches and pains. You can actually maybe even start having full-blown like stomach flu symptoms where you might actually throw up and things like that. And that's when you have a really aggressive form of candida and you start detoxing too quickly. It's nothing to be alarmed at, but listen to your body. If that's happening, you have to do things to slow the detox down and to assist your body in eliminating it so that it's not so aggressive. And like I said, drinking a lot of water, making sure you're resting. Don't try to do a really powerful candida cleanse when you're working a very stressful, 14-hour day job. Take a couple days off from work, because it's usually only the first couple of days that are that severe. Take a couple days off from work just to get through that first couple of day onset, because you are going to have to let your body rest. Very, very important that when you have a very, very serious health challenge and you start doing something to repair it, the first few days, sometimes even up to a week, are going to be very challenging. And it's imperative that the body is allowed to rest, because that's when it starts cleansing and repairing, and will also help you deal with some of the symptoms. So I just wanted to make sure I went into that a little bit.
Okay.
So now with regard to, go ahead.
Wait 1 second before you get off this subject. Isn't it true that one of the ways to slow down a detox that is, the kind of detox where, like you just mentioned, a lot of times there's vomiting and there's weakness and there's diarrhea and you break out in hives. I've seen so many different things happen to people during a very,
yep,
very, very rough detox. Isn't it true,
yep,
that if you have something like a something cooked, vegetables, obviously, not, I don't mean a T-bone steak, I mean... One of the things that we used to do at the Institute was make really nice pureed squashes or sweet potato or something like that, maybe even with a little cinnamon in them, the sweet potatoes, things like that, that you can take in, and even sometimes quinoa, a cooked quinoa, something to just slow down the detox a little bit so that your body can handle it. Everything doesn't have to happen yesterday. It took you a lifetime to pick up some of these problems. You can't expect to have them over in 48 hours. So a really, really rough detox for some people is too much. So if you are into that, something cooked, like I said, something, a good choice of something cooked, often slows down the detox a little bit so that it's not so, doesn't take such a toll on the rest of your body. You can't, you know, that's what Western medicine does to us. Chemotherapy and radiation and all those things are so drastic that they often are what does us in instead of what we're trying to treat. That's not what we're suggesting. You know, slow it down a little bit. Take the time that is required to get yourself to a better place safely and strategically. You need to be in charge, and you can do that by you know, like I said, one of the favorites for the guests at the Institute was always like sweet potato, almost like a sweet potato pureed soup. You steam the sweet potato and blend it. You can put, if you're the kind of person that likes it having a little bit of tang, you can put Bragg's in it. There's many, many different things that you can do to slow down a detox. So don't feel like you're being a failure if you do that. Okay, sorry, Shel. I just wanted to throw that in.
No, that's a good point. And the whole thing is that's why I had mentioned that you have to listen to your body. If you've been given instructions to detox in a particular way, and you're feeling at risk, you're feeling too weak, you're feeling too much in pain, your symptoms are too intense, okay? You have to slow the detox down. Like you said, it takes years for your body to get there. You know, you're not going to take a magic pill and 24 hours later it's going to be gone. Candida is a lifestyle. It is resulting from lifestyle, from improper diet and overuse of antibiotics. Those are the two things that cause candida. Antibiotics is probably the number one cause, and then diet is directly behind that. I was on antibiotics for 30 years, on and off, but on every year for 30 years, and sometimes for a couple months at a time. And, you know, so the fact that I've got my candida under control after all that is quite remarkable. But it is also why it will be a lifetime issue for me, and I just have to be careful with it, and that's fine because I know how to get it back under control if I get a mild flare-up, and none of my flare-ups are like they used to be. But the bottom line is that the detox symptoms are to be expected, but you can control the intensity of them, and you should control the intensity of them. If you allow your body to detox too aggressively, you can actually harm other organs. So don't brave it. You know, don't say, well, I'm going to get through this as fast as I can. That's actually not the appropriate thing. Educate yourself before. Read some articles about detox. I can mention a couple of books and a couple of websites before we end the show. Educate yourself on how to detox safely. If you know of somebody that's a naturopathic doctor, I would strongly recommend finding one, or going to a colon hydrotherapist. They can kind of walk you through what is okay as far as detox symptoms and when your body is detoxing too strenuously and you need to back it down. And then there's a bunch of things, like you said, focus. You don't want to overload your digestive system. Maybe something good heated, like a simple soup or something like that of a vegetarian nature, and or colonics, drinking more water. All these different things can help.
Well,
Go ahead.
Yeah. I thought I lost you again, so I was going to fill in until I heard you come back. I do believe that any adjustment that you make in your lifestyle, one of the things that always bothered me at the Institute was when I would meet somebody who was in really a life or death challenge, and they would just like do everything to such extremes. They got sick due to extremes, bad choices took them to extremes, and then when they were trying to get better, they would go to extremes. And that's not often a good idea either. I listened to a lecture the other day by, I don't even remember his name, but I loved everything he said. And one of the most important things he said is everything, good or bad, or poor choice or wise choice, always needs to be done in moderation. Even a good mm-hmm. thing can be too much. A bad thing, you know, can be too much if you overdo it. You get that. We all get that. But there mm-hmm. seems to be kind of a mental block when you think of the good things you're doing. I've had calls from folks that have adapted themselves to a raw food diet to the point where they are just, you know, they've gone too far. And I say to them, make yourself some soup. And they say, but Remy. And I say, but what? I didn't say make beef stew. I said, make yourself some soup with fresh vegetables, some good water, let it simmer, and sit and sip on it, and slow down the detox. Just get things mm-hmm. back. Your body is, for so many years, especially like if you're in your 40s, 50s, or 60s, and you've realized that you're at a place where you need to get back in control again, if you let the other lifestyle take control, you're out of control again. It's up to you to keep things even, Stephen. It's up to you to keep things on a level, straight road. And that means by, you know, moderation. Again,
right.
if you become a strict vegetarian, you will definitely start feeling better. Now, that's just a personal observation for myself. I still have horrible eating habits, but not eating meat. I haven't had heartburn or indigestion in 8 years. If you're mm-hmm. a Tums chewer, a Rolaid chewer, a Milk of Magnesia, a Pepto-Bismol addict, chances are if you give up meat, especially red meat, you'll feel better. I mean, that's just a truth. So what Shelley's teaching you about candida is important because, like she mentioned when she first started talking, the more something chronic stays in your body, it breaks down the rest of your body. It breaks it down because your body is trying to fight it without any tools because you're not doing anything to make it any better. So it's just trying to fight it on its own. And what happens? Like Shelley said, she had so many manifestations, she really no longer knew what was wrong with her, and the doctors sure as hell didn't know. So, again, it's about taking charge and taking responsibility, just like everything else in your life is about. Shelley, will you talk a little bit again? I mean, you touched base on it, but can you kind of, like, go through the ABCs of some of the really important manifestations from candida? If there's somebody out there who thinks maybe that's what's going on, I mean, we know that the yeast infection and stuff like that, but mention some of those other things that are really out there.
Yeah, that's kind of tough because there's over 300 symptoms that can be associated with candida. So that's kind of the issue. If you have a diet that's high in sugar and yeast, and you have any health issues, the likelihood that you have candida is very high because over 85% of the population does have candida. So first of all, it's almost a given that most people have it because most people eat packaged products. Another thing that aggravates candida is preservatives in food. And the reason for that is because our digestive system is based on, like I said, a chemical process. These bacteria, the probiotics, which you wanted me to talk about, the probiotics, mm-hmm. Acidophilus and the name of the other ones are, you have Acidophilus, Lactobacillus, Bulgarius, and Bifidobacterium. All right, all these different probiotics go in and break food down and start processing them. without those in our intestinal tract, we can't pull nutrients. So what happens is when you start suffering from malnutrition and when your immune system gets shut down, because understand that about 70% of the immune system, if not more, resides in our intestinal tract. If you have a colon, an intestinal tract that is injured, that is ill, then you have an immune system that's diminished. So all types of degenerative diseases, joint problems, stomach problems, digestive issues, fatigue, headache, weakness, waking up in the morning with your tongue looking like it's got a carpet on it, you know, it's kind of disgusting, but that thrush that you get on your tongue, I had that for so many years, and I never knew how to get rid of it. There is something that's called a tongue scraper, which is very, very helpful for people that have candida or that have thrush, you know, clean the tongue every day. But the bottom line is, unless you rid your body of the candida, that will never go away. It's just going to return the next morning. It leads to sore throats, earaches, sinus infections. It can lead to opening the door for other secondary illnesses. I used to get flus and bronchitis and pneumonia constantly when I had candida because my immune system was so fragile. It was so diminished that I literally got everything. If somebody got sick with something, bam, I mean, I'd have it within a week or so. And then I would stay sick for weeks on end. Now I still get the flu every now and then. I won't get flu shot. That's another topic for another day. But, the bottom line is I don't get flu shots. If I do get the flu now, I have it for 48 hours and it's gone. And I watch everybody around me that will struggle for weeks on end with a flu. And basically now, if I do get a flu, I'm over it in about 48 hours. I do everything holistically. I know how to strengthen my body again. But having a strong immune system doesn't mean you never get sick. What it means is that you recover quickly. All right, and that's been my experience. Another one of the manifestations is not healing quickly. I used to get scratches. I mean, little scratches on my arm or something like that. And it would get terribly infected. It would take me approximately 2 weeks to heal from very minor skin injuries. And I always thought it was normal. I always thought everybody took that long to heal from it. And it would always get infected, and it would always swell up, and it would eventually heal. And after I got rid of the candida, I noticed that if I got a scratch, generally I'd be healed in like 24 hours. But within a day, you almost wouldn't see it anymore, and it would never infect. So I'd never even realized for all those years that wasn't the normal healing process for minor skin injuries until I did regain my health and I, you know, continued getting scratches or injuries, and then they would heal like in a day. It shocked me the first couple of times it happened because I didn't realize that was the normal healing pattern, you know, things like that. But the candida symptoms can run the gamut from minor to major. I suffered all of them, you know, brain fog where you feel confused. It can cause severe depression. So a lot of people that are on depressive drugs very likely have candida. And unfortunately, the medical industry treats symptoms. They don't look for the cause of the symptom. So if you go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist and you're suffering severe depression, they're not going to look to see if you have candida. They're going to put you into counseling, and they're probably going to prescribe you some mood-altering medication to try and bring your mood into alignment with feeling better, when chances are, if you cleaned your diet up and got rid of the candida, and there's other things other than candida that can also cause depression. But the bottom line is, once you clean your diet up for any of these disorders, whether it be candida, cancer, or whatever, a lot of times, we have seen a lot of the guests that came to Hippocrates would feel better emotionally. Regardless of what the health issue that they came with, they would start feeling better emotionally just by cleaning up their diet, because there are so many things in the food we eat today that can affect how we feel, either feel energetically or feel emotionally. And so the depression and the brain fog are two really intense side effects of having candida. And they're the ones that get missed so often when people are being diagnosed.
What about how are we going to advise people, and you may not have the answer to this, and maybe we need to find out because I'm not sure, what is the best or the most efficient way to find out whether or not you have candida? A blood test? Some kind of a biopsy or something? Do you know?
Well, there is a way. Well, first of all, if you've got, if you have some of the symptoms, you know you have it. Like if you're a woman, you have a yeast infection, you've got candida. If you wake up every morning and you have a coating on your tongue, you have candida. I mean, there are some things you don't need to go to a doctor for. Your body's telling you you have candida. All right. If you have, there are certain things. If you have a diet that's high in sugar, if you're drinking, if you do drink the alcohols that have a lot of yeast in them, like beers and things like that, if your diet really has a high amount of these things you were talking about, breads, the dairy products, beers, things like that, sugars, you're eating a lot of cakes and stuff like that, and then you have a lot of these type of symptoms, I can almost guarantee you have candida. To prove it, I don't remember how I was diagnosed now. I think it was a blood test, but I'm not sure now how you diagnosed candida. It was so long ago. I know there's a spit test. There's somebody... I'll have to research that. There's somebody that does a spit test, believe it or not, and you have to do this, and if it comes out, it shows whether or not you have candida in your saliva, and I don't remember what lab does that, but that's something I'll have to research, and we'll have to post it or bring it up tomorrow, because now I don't remember how to tell, and I don't remember how I was diagnosed, although I was seeing a doctor who diagnosed me with systemic candida, but that was 20 years ago. I don't remember. I don't remember what method he used to say that to me.
I don't.
But, I guess.
I don't either. I don't remember anybody ever sharing that with me. I'm assuming though it has something to do with a body fluid. Maybe even a year analysis show candida. I don't know, but we will have to find that out.
Well, that's when they knew that I was really systemic, because I had candida. It was called shed. I had candida shed off in my urine, and most people have candida unless they have systemic like I did. It doesn't really go that that like integrally throughout the body, but they had found it in like 3 or 4 different areas of my body. It wasn't just in my colon, and that's why I was really being very terribly affected by it. I mean, I was having joint problems. It opened the door for me to get other conditions. Now, the leaky gut syndrome was a spinoff of the candida. That's where the colon wall starts getting very porous. But some of the other things I got, like the chronic fatigue, which is a viral complex, the fibromyalgia, the Lyme's disease, the candida weakened my immune system so much that it opened the door for me to acquire these other conditions. Not that they're spinoffs of candida, but the candida weakened my constitution to the point where it opened the door for me to acquire other illnesses on top of the candida. And then mm-hmm. some of the manifestations were directly from the candida. They weren't secondary disorders. They were from a lot of the brain fog. Yeah, and unfortunately, chronic fatigue causes brain fog. Lyme's disease causes brain fog. So when you think about it, it was like shocking that I was able to think at all, because I was dealing with quite a lot, and I was pretty much a high performer. And that
chronic fatigue, in many cases, of course, is detrimental to your health. Chronic fatigue usually means you're not getting enough quality sleep, which, of course, we talked about on the insomnia show and when we talked about that. I have a caller. I believe it's Daniel, who would like to say something, so I'm going to bring him in. Hi, Danny.
Hi. Good morning, everyone. How are you?
We're good.
Good morning,
how are you, Daryl?
How are you? Hello?
Very good to hear from you.
I'm doing well. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little recovering myself, but amidst all of this government reopening and all this other stuff. I'm up this morning early.
So, yeah, we talked about that when I first started the show this morning, that Obama signed the paper last night. It's the 12th hour,
yes.
The way we do everything. And that we're pleased that hopefully this is a sign that we're going to play nicely together.
Yes. Can I use this, not as a platform, just briefly, not to share my party's views, but to kind of make a statement, kind of put myself on record. Is that okay real quick?
Sure.
Okay. I've been sharing a lot of things on my Facebook, and as you know, Rainey, and possibly Shelley, I'm elected Democratic Precinct Committeeman, and that is my chosen party affiliation. I am very proud. During these last horrible few weeks of shutdown, of many Republican senators and congressmen and congresswomen that stood by our president and stood by what is law and did not partake in acts of sedition. I have to say that I'm very proud and very thankful to Obama's former opponent, Senator John McCain. He came out and said that the American people wouldn't have reelected President Obama if they didn't feel he was fit for office. And come on, my Republican colleagues, Obamacare is law. Let's make it work. So without pushing my party's values, I just want to say that this morning I've been sharing a lot of my own feelings through words on Facebook that I've been getting negative responses to. And I just want to go on record stating that I'm going to read my statement. Many people came out against our president, and they were even willing to impeach him. Yesterday, the GOP even filed paperwork to start that process. I have no problem repeating the facts. President Obama did nothing wrong. He does not make the law. The House and the Senate do. He only enforces and signs them into law. Did those who left his side know that all of the demands and changes made by the GOP were at stake? No. The president was being pressured into something, and many thought his hand would be forced. I understand it may seem harsh, but those that stuck by our president, regardless of party, should be commended. People like Republican Senator John McCain and United States Senator Elizabeth Warren. Those that held fast and put their trust in our president again in 2012 did right by America these last few weeks. So that's my statement, because I went ahead and posted earlier this morning, the Republican demands that came in at around 11:30. President Obama signed the law by 12:30 in morning yesterday or this morning. And the Republican demands was a list of them, and Obama held fast and said no to everything. Basically, the American people are smarter than this, and the fact is that the Republican, the GOP, shut down our government so that in order to reopen, they would get their demands met. There were a lot of changes submitted that had nothing, or a lot of legislation, a lot of changes and amendments that were submitted that had nothing to do with Obamacare or the debt ceiling. And the only way where they were going to reopen the government, because they have the majority, was if they were going to meet the demands. The president declined everything. And I just have to say that those who decided not to stand with our president, because right now impeachment papers have been filed, I want everyone to consider switching parties in your mind for a second. I'm a Democrat, but if I was a Republican, I would want to be the Republican that understands that this is law and Obamacare is law, and it's not to where we want it to be, but if we work together, we can get it to where it fits the American people, and that people can get what they need out of it. So that's what I wanted to say on record this morning, because there's a lot of people out there that are not understanding, and they're putting blame. There's no blame to go around, but I do want everyone to understand that it's not our president's fault, and that if anything, our president stood by his word and did not take direction from the demands of a party who is using this shutdown as a tactic to get other ideas and values passed, and that's not okay. And it shouldn't be okay for the Democratic Party to do that either. So,
I think that your feelings on this subject are applaudable. I agree with you. I don't agree with all of everything you say, which is my prerogative. However,
sure.
I agree with you about the most important fact that you're making, and that is, and I say this all the time, mm-hmm. when we vote a person into office, when mm-hmm. we, especially that high office, the office
right.
of president, and mm-hmm. we do it as a society, as a group,
sure.
and we're all given the same opportunity to vote.
Yep.
We're all the same opportunity to make our own choice. There is nothing about it that twists your arm in any way, shape, or form. And
correct.
Even the other party, once somebody wins the race, they are the winner, which means that they have certain responsibilities that we need to respect. And I will go along with everything in that regard that you just said. And this is
thank
another
you.
Opportunity to show everybody that it is not okay to bully anybody. I don't care
that's correct.
Who you are, how high up on the totem pole you're seated, I don't care. Bullying is bullying, and that's what just took place. We had the donkeys and the elephants in a ring bullying
yeah.
each other, didn't we? So now what happened? What happened is the
nothing
the American,
got done.
The American
people
have had to learn again that there is appropriate conduct if you follow what has to be done. When a president speech bad, not just his job, you know. Since when
right.
do we impeach somebody for doing their job? We impeach
that's
people
true.
For hiding things, for being covert, for not doing
that's
what
right.
they say. Isn't that why the impeachment law is even in place?
Agreed.
So, but I thank you for bringing
mm-hmm.
this to our attention. We've kind of steered a little bit clear of
this. Yes, sorry.
It incites so many people, and so many people have deep feelings about them, and I want
yes.
everybody to know to respect everybody's opinion.
Yes.
I mean, I necessarily agree with it, but I respect it, and I think
mm-hmm.
Renee's heart-to-heart has taken a stand on that on several different occasions. We are respectful
yes,
of opinion and their choices. So, thanks, honey.
Yes,
and
you
I
thank you. Thank you.
And I think that at the end of the day, it always seems to work the way it's supposed to work. And I'm just sad that there's so much drama involved. I'm not a very dramatic person. I believe things are either this way or that way. You know,
right.
it doesn't have the other crap
that
in the middle.
True. That is
you know.
True.
Yeah. So, Shell, you
well,
have
thank
any
you
feelings?
For allowing me to say that. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Shelley?
Yes.
Are you in? Okay.
Yes.
Do you have anything
you
would like to say to Danny?
No. I mean, I think he made, like you said, I think he made some very good points. Yeah, this is a big subject, but it's also a subject that it inspires a lot of emotions from people. And it's always the best way to approach this is to always look at the bigger picture. And that's where a lot of people sometimes don't. They look at a singular act and they react to that act without really researching and looking into what really went behind that decision or how the president does certain things and things like that. So it's important that when we react to what's going on in government, that we look at the bigger picture.
Yes, and the truth of the matter is, at the end of the day, the important ones, if I can say this with all humility and respect, are us.
Mm-hmm.
We're the ones that are doing the best to survive and to live a wholesome, happy life, and that
mm-hmm.
means having everything that we're supposed to have that has been organized for many, many years available to us, the post office, the courthouses, the garbage pickup, all of those kind of things. There's no reason on this earth because the two biggest powers in the United States of America don't see eye to eye that shouldn't affect any of the people. That's not what we want from them. That's not what we need
right.
from them. And they shouldn't subject us to those kind of things. They really shouldn't. So they need to reevaluate how they're running the show and, get it.
That's correct.
So thanks, honey. You're rump. Good job out there and with young people like you out there and coming up and moving into this genre, I think there's hope for us yet.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you. But I will go back to listening to the show. Thank you.
All right.
Good hearing from you, Daniel.
Before our
you
time
too,
is Shelly. Up. Yeah, thanks, honey. Before our time is up in regard to Candida, what do you think about the good bacteria in yogurt and things like that, Shell? Because you talked about not having dairy products, and yet every day we see something on television, and it's about the probiotics that are in yogurt. And we also have somebody in the raw food genre who is pro-yogurt probiotics, by the way. So how do you feel about that, the probiotics that are in yogurt to help get everything in your intestines and everything working again?
Well, if you're getting organic, if you're getting organic yogurt, I personally don't believe in dairy products. There are other yogurts out there. There's yogurts that are made from coconut milk and almond milk. Probably if you can tolerate it, probably the almond milk yogurt would be a better choice. The coconut yogurt can be a little bit high in sugar, and it, obviously when you're trying to battle candida, so you're going the other direction. But if you're going to do commercial yogurt, you want to go with an organic brand. You want to go in for something that's very low in sugar, so you're not going to do the fruit options. You're going to go with plain yogurt. But I don't believe that's the best way to populate the colon. It's better to just eat a better diet and to use probiotic supplements. There's a couple of brands out there that are very good. I had mentioned Renew Life yesterday. Renew Life was founded by Brenda Watson back in 1997, and they have an entire line. If you go to renewlife.com, there's this huge website there. They have all kinds of information on there and different products, cleansing products, intestinal cleansing products, flora and probiotic options, and not just one. They have several different types. Then there's Garden of Life, which would be gardenoflife.com. Garden of Life is the company that was founded by Jordan Rubin, and that was also over 20 years ago. Jordan Rubin was dying of Crohn's disease, and you see these before and after pictures in his book. I was hoping they would have a copy on the website, but I didn't see a copy of the book on there. But he does have a book out. He's also the author of Maker's Diet, He's the gentleman who wrote that book. And but he was dying of Crohn's disease. In the book, there's all kinds of pictures of him where he looked almost skeletal. And now he's a fairly good-looking guy. I mean, he's got a nice build on him and everything. But that's he developed the products through Garden of Life that are also intestinal cleansers and something called Fungal Defense, which is used for candida, and it's got botanicals and enzymes and fermented whole foods in it, which create flora. Now, this is what I was talking about before when I said that when we digest food, it's a chemical process. In order for us to digest food, it has to go through a fermenting process, and that's what the bacteria does, and that's how we draw nutrients from it. So when you eat a lot of foods that are heavily laden with preservatives, this is something I talk about in my book, when you eat a lot of foods, packaged foods, and they all have preservatives in them so that they can survive on the shelf without spoiling, what happens is that if something has preservatives in it, your body can't go through that fermenting process. So that's why people that eat a lot of packaged products are always hungry, because they're never getting proper nutrition. You can't pull the nutrition from the food because it can't. If it's got preservatives in it to prevent decay, that's part of what the fermenting process is. It has to go in there and degrade the food, but it's doing it through a chemical process. It's not like rotting on your counter. But it's that same decay process. And if the food can't decay inside the body through this chemical process and be fermented, then you're not going to be able to pull the proper nutrients out, because it's all a chemical process. It's done by that. So this is something that all these manufacturers of food that put preservatives in it never thought of the impact on human health. They just thought of making the food last longer, but a preservative is not nutrition, and it actually prevents us from pulling nutrition. So probiotics is very important. There's a lot of different companies that sell probiotics. Just make sure that you're getting a good vegetarian form of probiotics. If you can buy things that are organic, go to your health food store, anything from Garden of Life or Renew Life. These are products that we used to sell at Hippocrates. I can already vouch for their integrity. There's also a company called Ajuva. Ajuva.com that has an outstanding colon cleanse and some other supplements. That's basically a company that just sells a cleanse, though I don't know that they sell the actual probiotics separately. But Ajuva is another very, very good company. And then just simplify the diet. Take out the things that we've talked about. There is a little bit more information. Maybe we can recap tomorrow morning, and I can read one page out of this one book that I found. But basically, that's it for today, and maybe tomorrow morning, if I can read one other thing, just to give people like this list of how to approach candida. It should only take maybe 5 minutes, but maybe we can start tomorrow's show with that, and then we'll go on to a new subject.
Sure. Well, tomorrow is recap day, so we absolutely will touch on that real quickly, because we are down to just about a minute. Shelley mentioned a tongue scraper. If you are on the avenue to readjust your eating, your preferences, scraping your tongue on a daily basis also helps you change your taste for things. Your taste buds are on your tongue, and scraping your tongue will help you to give up some of the old foods. It's used a lot in these food institutes that will help in that journey for you. I want to thank everybody. I want to thank Dan Collins for giving us his input in regards to the politics that are going on. I want to say thank God that we've moved past this latest trauma. I want to thank Shelley for all of her input and her knowledge in regard to a lot of these issues that we will be discussing, and wish all of you a wonderful, wonderful Thursday, and we'll be back tomorrow morning to recap this week. It was a good week, an interesting week, and I look forward to being with you again tomorrow morning. Everybody have a blessed day, and thanks, Shel. And thank you, Danny, out there. And I think we were joined this morning on my dashboard by my daughter-in-law, Valerie. Thank you, Valerie. Everybody have a great day.
Take care, Rainey.
Thanks,
bye,
Jill.
Danny. Have a great day, everyone.
Bye-bye, everybody.